We begin the current daf, Masechta Kedushin, daf Samach Beis. We begin four lines down for the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, which is the Gemara was discussing the halachic ramifications of the fundamental machlokes in our Mishnah of the previous daf. That is, there's a machlokes from Meir and Chanina ben Gamliel regarding a halacha of Tanai, of conditions, of stipulations. Meir holds, as we learn from Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven, that it has to be a Tanai kafel, which means to say that if you want to give somebody to someone, but based on certain stipulations or make a kinyan, then it has to be both ways. You have to say, if you do that, then you'll get it. If you don't, then you will not. But if you don't say that if you don't, you will not, then you still get it even if the condition was not met. Whereas Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel disagreed. He says, no, you infer, mechlal hen at teshmei lav, mechlal lav at teshmei hen, you get the flip side. If you say, I'm going to give this to you only if you do this, if you don't do it, you're obviously not going to get it. And they dispute if you learn that from Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven. And the Gemara has been asking different questions regarding different parashas in the Torah where we find, if it's doubled or not, seemingly that's going to be difficult on the opinion that holds the other way. As the Gemara continues, Bishlema l'Reb Chanina ben Gamliel. We understand according to Reb Chanina ben Gamliel, again, that he holds that you don't have to be koifel atzanai, you don't have to double it. So hainichsiv, so we understand what it says in parashas Bamidbar regarding the Saita, where the Kohen tells to the Saita, im lo shachav ish aysach, if a man has not laid with you, and ve'im leisatis tuma tachas ishech, and if you have not strained, you didn't stray with impurity when you're married to your husband, then hey naki, then you're going to be cleansed. Now it doesn't double it and say that if a man laid with you, then you're not going to be clean. Now that obviously makes sense because Reb Chanina ben Gamliel says we understand the inferences. Now because you know that obviously if you get cursed, then if you're going to get the blessing if you didn't stray, then we understand the curse that if you did stray, that you're going to get the punishment. Now Rashi just points out one thing, although the pasuk does continue right after that, and it says v'at kisatis v'gaimer, that it says that if you did stray and so on, so it sounds like it is saying the flip side. That is not true, he says, because that's not coming to explain the curse regarding the first oath. There's actually two shvuas that the kohen makes her make. So regarding the first one, actually it doesn't double it. Rather, it's going on the second oath, where it says over there, where the first shvua was a shvua that doesn't have an Allah attached to it, a curse attached to it, which it says, and it doesn't explain the curse. Actually, it's like Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel holds, because the curse is inferred from the blessing. But as the Gemara Kointer Meir, it should have said, but if you do lay, then it should have said, and then you'll get the punishment of death. That the woman's going to choke. So according to Reb Meir, that it has to say both sides, why does it only say one? So the Gemara says, Amar Ptachim, he explains, actually does say both, because hinaki ksiv. The way he writes hinaki, the end of that pasuk, that if you didn't sleep with another man, then you're going to be cleansed, it says without a yud, which therefore you could expound it to that the pasuk should actually be going on the first oath. In other words, you read the words, that if you didn't lay, then hinaki, which is as the simple translation. Now, but however, the mesoiris, meaning the way it's written, in other words, so it's read hinaki, but it's written in the way that it could be pronounced that it's going on the pasuk afterwards. In other words, you could read it chinki, that there will be death, v'at kisatis, that if you did stray. In other words, if you strayed, you're going to get the death penalty. In other words, so it is going both ways. So though, yes, it's read hinokin, it only talks about seemingly the bracha, but the klala is alluded to. In other words, it is saying it in the pasuk, because it's written in a way that it could be read, where there's interchangeability between the hey and the ches, and especially since hinoki is written in a way that the letters are the letters of chinki. So it says chinki, and then the pasuk then continues, the next pasuk, although it is going on the next topic, but it could be contiguous with the previous pasuk, so it is saying both ideas. So the Gemara asks, if that's the case, so we understand the pasuk was specifically written in a way that it could be read chinki, so then the question is the other way. Bishlam the Reb Meir understand the Kohen Reb Meir hainichsev hinki. That's why it was written hinaki, so that it could be read hinki, which is chinki, to say that, because you have to say both sides. But El Reb Chanina ben Gamliel, who holds you don't have to double things, olam ali, why do I have to write it in that vernacular, where you could expound both ways as explained for Reb Meir? It should have said something like, Techaya, she will live, or some other terminology. Why say hinaki in that way that now it could sound like that you have to double and say the death penalty when he holds mechlal hen at the shemei lav? So the Gemara says Itzuch. It was necessary. Because I mean, I would have thought to say that yes, im lo yishachav ish hinaki, as the previous pasuk says, if a man didn't lay with you, then you'll be cleansed. Nothing's going to happen to you. Vim shachav, but I would have thought to say, but if a man did lay with you, then you're right, lo hinaki, you're not going to be cleansed, but v'lechinki, neither are you going to get the death penalty either. Elisur ba'alma. Rather, it's going to be considered like you violated just a transgression. Kamash Malan, that's why even Rabbi Hanina Megamliel would agree, you have to say the flip side to say, not only you're not just going to be cleansed, but you're going to get the death penalty. That was what was necessary to say the flip side, even according to Rabbi Hanina Megamliel. So the Gemara continues on this discussion. Now the other way. Bishlam l'Ramei, we understand the country of Ramei who holds that you need to have a Tanai Kafal. So Hayindachsiv, that's what it says in Bamidbar, when it's talking about the purification process of someone that's Tameh, says, Hu yischata b'yayim hashlishi u'bayim hashvii yitar. So he'll be purified on day 3 and day 7, and then he'll be purified. Then the Pasuk says, b'im lo yischata v'gamid, but if he's not purified, then he's not going to be tar. So, contrary to me, we understand, because you have to say both sides to say the complete halacha. Because if you didn't say that, if you didn't, you wouldn't be, it would sound like that, okay, you should, but even if you don't, you're still going to be tar. But according to him, why do you have to say the flip side? We get it. If you say that you need it to be purified, if you're not going to do day 3 and day 7 being sprayed with the ash of the paraduma, we get it, you're going to be tummy. And Zadigmar says, no, itzrach, it was necessary. Why? I would have thought to say, mitzvah hazah b'shlishu b'shvi, the mitzvah of being sprayed with the ashes, with that water, is on day 3 and day 7. But the hechad avid b'chad minayu avid, I would have thought to say, but if you do on one of those 2 days, then it is done. In other words, because the beginning of the pasuk doesn't use a terminology of sounding like it's talking about a tanai, a condition. It doesn't say, im yischataboy, if you get purified day 3, day 7, then you're going to be tar. Which, yeah, that would have sounded like, because that's how Reb Hanina Gamliel understands the halachas of tanai, that if you wouldn't be purified, you wouldn't be tar. But that's not what it says. It just says, hu yischataboy, that this is how he should purify himself. Which you could say, that's just a commandment, but not a stipulation. And therefore, yes, the mitzvah is you should do like this. But even if you don't do both, if you do one, we would think it would be tahara. Kamash Mulan, that's why even the Kondra B'chanei Megamlil, we have to say that if you don't do both days, you're not going to be tahara. Now the Gemara then asks, once we introduced this parasha over here regarding tahara, so the question is not regarding Reb Hanina, who we had just asked on, rather it's a question on everyone. When it says then in the pasuk over there, v'hiza hatar al atame b'yem eshlishi b'yem eshvi, that the one who's pure should spray in the one that's tame on day 3 and day 7, the question is, lomali, what do you need that pasuk for? What do we not already know from the previous psukim that talk about that you have to be purified on day 3 and day 7? What is this pasuk seemingly superfluous coming to explain? So the Gemara says, itzruch. It was necessary to say another pasuk that has to be day 3, day 7. Why? So good at chemina, I would have thought to say, when it's said in the previous psukim shlishi, it's lemute sheni. Day 3 is to exclude that you can't already start spraying on the tummy person on day 2. When it says shvi on day 7, it's lemute shishi, it's coming to exclude day 6. In other words, because he didn't yet create enough distance for his sprayings from when he became tummy. You have to let some time go before the purification can take effect. 3 and 7, not 2 and 6. Because to come in mind, be made tahara. If you do day 2 and day 6, then you're diminishing the days of tahara that you need to become purified. But I would have thought to say, if you spray first on day 3, and then you even give it more time, and you spray only day 8, to come mapesh be made tahara, that you have increased the days of purity that he's waiting, that he is distanced from when he had touched the thing that was made him tameh. I would think that would be valid. That's why the pasuk has to repeat to say, no, it has to be 3 and 7. You can't make less, but neither can you make even more. It has to be exactly those same days. Now another question, which the next part of that pasuk says, that he'll purify him on day 7. So the question is, lomali, what's that coming to add, which we don't already know from the first half of the pasuk, which says, yeah, you have to spray him on day 3, day 7. So the Gemara says, itzruch, it was necessary to say this superfluous, seemingly superfluous terminology in the pasuk, because it's coming to teach us a different halacha. So I would have thought to say, I would have thought that to partake from things of kadshim, which have a high standard of tahara, that you have to purify in day 3 and day 7. Aval truma b'chad namasagi, but regarding truma, that it would be even enough on one. You wouldn't need both days to be sprayed on. Kamash b'lan, that's where it says that no, not on day 3, but also day 7, which is that even truma requires the spraying of day 3 and day 7 to become tahar to partake of truma. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, is regarding stipulations regarding a Kiddushin. Now our Mishnah tells us, HaMekadosh has the Isha Ba'amar. If someone engages a woman and he says, oh, Kesavah HaYisi Shikanis, I thought, again that's going on to stipulations, what the understanding was regarding the Kiddushin, I thought she was a Kehanis, and her father was a Kain. Vairi Levia, turns out she's a Levia. I didn't know. I know he goes to the base of Megdash. I thought her father was a Kain. Turns out that she's Levia. Or Levia Vairi Kehanis, I thought she was the daughter of a Levi. Turns out she's the daughter of a Kain. Or Aniya Vairi Ashira, I thought she was poor. Turns out she's wealthy. Or Ashira Vairi Aniya, I thought she was wealthy. That was my presumption. And turns out that she's poor. Says the Mishnah, Harezu Mukadeshus. In all these cases, she's still engaged. She didn't mislead him. He misled himself. He had an assumption, and he shouldn't have assumed. And since he didn't specify when he got engaged to her, saying, I'm only engaging you that you're poor or a kahanis, so he has no claim, because that's what's called nalacha, which we mentioned, what's called dvar mishabalev. Words in the heart that you're thinking, but you don't verbalize, they have no halachic validity regarding creating or invalidating a kinyan, and therefore, it's not going to invalidate the kedushin. Now, continuing on this theme, the Mishnah tells us, Ha'im ala'isha, if someone tells a woman, Hared mekudashasli, you're engaged to me, again, stipulations, la'achasha is gayr, after that I'll convert. Or la'achasha tizgayri, or after you convert. La'achasha ishtachar, after that I get freed as a slave. And all these are talking about cases, not just regular stipulations, but they're actually halachas relating to the validity of the kedushin. Because in all these states, if he's a non-Jew, or she's a non-Jew, or if he's a slave, or she's a slave, they cannot create kedushin. But he's saying, although we can't create kedushin yet, but I'm giving it to you so that after I get freed, then it'll be a kedushin, or after you get freed. Oy la'acha she teshtachari, or after you get freed, or la'acha shemes balecha, she's a married woman. But he says, I'm giving you kedushin for after your husband dies. Oy la'acha she tomas achay secha, or after your sister dies, because that's his wife, is that woman's sister. So, which you can't marry achay sishtay. Or la'acha sheyachatz leich yavamich, or after that your yavam, which means to say that her husband had just died without any children and she has to wait for yibam chalitza. So he says, after your yavam gives you chalitza, which as Rashi points out, the town of a Mishnah holds that kedushin is not taifis in the yavam alashuk, because if it was, then he could just give her kedushin right now, although albeit in sin. But kedushin is not taifis right now. Says the Mishnah regarding all these cases, in the mukadashas, is not going to be a valid kedushin. Because this is what's called in halacha divar mishalebo la'olam. This kedushin of this woman is not here in this world right now, because he cannot create a kedushin right now. So it's like it's not extant, because there is no such mitzvah, no such reality right now to create this kedushin. Because either he's not Jewish or she's a married woman, whatever it is. So since it's not, the reality is not here yet to create a kedushin or a kinyan, something that will come, you cannot do, and therefore it's not a kedushin. Says the Mishnah, so to someone that tells to his friend, Im yolda ishtucha nekeva, if your wife will give birth to a girl, harezu mukadeshasli, she'll be engaged to me, and he's giving him the money right now. In the mukadeshas, again, it's a davash label, it's not going to create a kedushin. Now, the gears is that there are in the parentheses, which Marsha points out, obviously, we don't have this gears, as we'll see on Amud Beis, but the Mishnah concludes, Im ha'isa eishas chavei mu'uberes, but let's say his friend's wife was pregnant, and it was noticeable, the pregnancy, dvarv kayam, and then the words will have validity, and therefore vim yalda nekeva, if she will give birth to a female, then mukadesha, then she'll be engaged to this guy who's doing kedushin right now with the embryos, the fetus's father, which again, if it turns out she's a girl, she's engaged to this man. Now the Gemara introduces the following Mishnah, which will relate back to the halacha of our Mishnah. It's not awesome. We learned over there in the Mishnah Masechtas Trumas. In termin minad talish ala mechubar, you cannot take truma from detached produce, regular fruits which have already been disconnected, ala mechubar, regarding produce which is still attached to the ground. Now the reason being is because something attached to the ground is not obligated yet in truma, because the pasuk says in Dvar Yudches that it's on reishis degantcha, the first of your grain, which is the word dog, and also relates to something that has digun, which means to say that it was already piled up in a smoothed out pile, which means something that's already detached from the ground. So therefore, vim taram, if he has taken off truma from something that's detached to take truma from something that's still connected to the ground, ain't truma say truma. His truma is not going to have halachic validity of truma. In other words, that produce which he's giving to the kohen, which is calling truma, is not going to be designated as truma. because he's not. It's not separating for something else, because that produce cannot have yet truma taken off of it. It's still attached to the ground, and therefore, although he gives it to the kayin, it's going to be tevel. It's untithed produce, because the only way truma itself is not considered tevel anymore when it's being taken for truma for some other produce, but it's not being taken truma for that other produce, and therefore the kayin who has it as tevel, he could take off truma for it from somewhere else, but it's still going to have halachic status as chulin, not as truma. And moreover, the attached produce, which this person had taken off that detached produce as truma for it, has not been fixed. And when he actually detaches it from the ground, he's going to have to separate new truma for it. That's the halacha in the Mishnah Mesach, this trumas. Now, related to this halacha, the Gemara tells us, Bayimine Rav Asim Rabbi Yechon. Rav Asim asked from Rabbi Yechon the following question. Let's say this homeowner says, Peirus Aruga Zut Solution. The fruits of this row, which are detached already, you truma al peiros arugazum mechubar, should be truma for the fruits of this row, which are still attached to the ground. Or the other way around, peiros arugazum mechubar, the fruits of this row, which is still attached to the ground, you truma al peiros arugazum tlushim, should be truma for the fruits of this row, which are already detached. Likish to yitlishu. Now here's where it changes from the Mishnah Masechtas Truma, where there we said clearly that if one's attached and one's not, it's not going to work. But here he's adding a stipulation. He's saying that, although it doesn't take effect right now, but that when it will be detached from the ground, which then obviously they're both detached, and then you could take off truma one from the other. So although now one is attached, he's saying, but it should take effect. I'm doing it now, but it should take effect for when it gets detached. And then it gets detached. Ma, what's the halacha? Can it be truma retroactive? Or, in other words, is it like someone that's makdash dabash label ilam, which is you can't sanctify something that's not here yet, and therefore you can't create the truma, you can't create it as truma because it's not extant yet, because one of them are mechubar, or no, or it's not a problem. So Amalai, Rabbi Yechon responded to him, he says, kol shebi yadai, whatever is in the person's ability, in his hands right now, like in this case, where he could go ahead and detach the connected produce, and to then separate immediately truma, so lavka mechusa ma'isa dami, so it's not like there's lacking any action, and it's like it's already done. And therefore, he says, actually, if the person is designating, saying that it should take effect, it will take effect now, because since it's biyadai to do it, so therefore we consider it in halacha as if it's already done, and hence, it is going to be a valid truma. Now, Eisvei, Rav Asi asked Rabbi Yechon from the halacha of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Ho'ima le'isha, if a man tells a woman, Haret mekudeshesli, you're engaged to me, either l'achashe esgair, after I will convert, l'achashe esgairi, after you convert, after that I get freed as a slave, that's Eved Kanani, after that you get freed, after that your husband dies, or after your sister dies, which is my wife, after that your Yavam gives you Chalitza. So said the Mishnah, says it's not Mekudesh, as we explained in the Mishnah, because it's a Davash label Olam, it's not yet extant. Now, says Rav Asi, Bishlam Kulai, I understand all the cases, La Biyadai. It's not within his ability to make that, because he's a slave, his master has to free him, someone has to die, so I understand that. Eliger Hav Biyadai, but conversion is in his own ability to do that. You said that whatever's Biyadai is not considered a chisarin, a lacking in Davar Bala Ilam. You consider it as if it's already here. And that's why he said you could take a truma from one that's attached to one that's that's disconnected, or the other way around, because he could do that and detach it right now, so therefore it's considered bala ilam. So why in our Mishnah did we say regarding the case of when after I convert, then we'll be engaged, and the Mishnah says na mukadesh is why? It's bala ilam, he could go ahead and convert, nothing's stopping him, it's biyadai. So why isn't that a valid kedushin? So that the Gemara answers, ger na mila biyadai. Actually, conversion's not within the person's ability to say that it's like it's here already now. Because the Amr Reb Chiya Bar Abba, Amr Reb Yechon, as Reb Yechon himself had said, who were answering for us, we continue on Tamid Beis, Ger Tzarek Shleisha. Conversion requires three Jewish people to function, to immerse him in the mikveh, to notify him some of the mitzvahs, and the difficult ones, and the easy ones, as the Gemara explains in Masech Zivamit, Abim Zayin Ben Aleph. Now my time, why does conversion require a bezdin, as it's called, three Jewish people? Because as the Pasuk says in Vayikra, Mishpat Ksivbe. Regarding a ger, it's used the terminology of judgment. As the Pasuk says, Mishpat Echad Yilachem, there should be one judgment for you, Kager Ke'ezrov, like the convert, like the resident, which tells you Kedin, like judgment. Miyemer de Mizdakur Lehanitlasa. So since you need to have for conversion a Bezdin, who said that three Jewish people are going to come and convene and create a bezdin, and therefore it's not considered biyadi. Yes, they might, but it's not for sure. It's not something that is immediate that's biyadi to do, and that's why, even for the case of la'achashe, that I'm going to convert, that we say that's not going to be a valid kedushin. But the Gemara continues asking in Rabbi Yechon's halacha, maskeb lo Rabbi Abba bar Mamo, el miyata, but if that's the case, hanoisim pruta l'shevchase ba'amra. So if someone gives his maidservant a pruta, the lowest denomination of a coin, which is valid for kedushin, and he says, hared mukadeshes li la'acha shechara re'acha, that you're engaged to me that after I free you. Hachanami dava kedushin, based on Rabbi Yechon's principle, seemingly, that will be a valid kedushin. Why? Because it is biyada, it's with, he's the master. He could go ahead and free her, and then she's free, and then she's a valid Bas Yisrael to go ahead and engage, and therefore it should be considered a valid kedushin. Could we infer that from your halacha? So Rabbi Yechonah says, no, how can you compare? Hasa mi'ikar behema. There in halacha, we consider the kananim as an animal, as a donkey. Now, hashta das acheres, when she becomes a Jewish person, she becomes a totally different type of a person, totally different creation. Therefore, as Rashi explains, although it's biyadai, biyadai is not the final law. Biyadai just creates that there's nothing lacking over here. Here, although it's biyadai to free her, there's no greater lacking than changing from a behema to an adam, to a Jewish person. So therefore, although he could do it, it's still considered mechus ha'mais, it's still considered davar shelo olam. Because although you could do it, it's so lacking, we view it as if it's not here. And that's why, although yes, biyadah, and I said biyadah makes it not a problem, that's regarding truma, where there's not such a big difference from being attached to the ground to not being attached to the ground. But a person converting, that's a huge thing, and therefore, even though it's biyadah, it still could be that it's going to be davar shelo olam, and even if he gives a pruta to his shifcha and he says la'acha shecharecha, it's not going to be a valid kedushin. But now the Gemara says, ve'elohadam Rabbi Yishai, but then this halacha that Rabbi Yishai had said, hanoisin pruta le'ishtei va'amala. Someone gives a pruta to his wife, and he tells her, hared mekudeshes li la'acha sha'agar shecha. He says to his wife, we're married now, but I'm giving you a pruta now, so that when I divorce you, you'll be engaged to me with this pruta I'm giving you now. So Rabbi Yishai said, ene mekudeshes, she's not engaged. So the Gemara says, but hachinami l'Rabbi Yechonah, but what should come out according to Rabbi Yechonah's halacha that we just mentioned, that if he ends up divorcing her, to have a kedushin, seemingly according to Rabbi Yechonon, that should be a valid kedushin, meaning not like Rabbi Yishai, seemingly, because it's biyadai lekacha, and it's biyadai legarsha. So therefore, seemingly he disagrees with Rabbi Yishai. So Gemara says no. Nehi de biyadai legarsha. You're right. It's in his ability to divorce her because he can be give a get to his wife even against her will. But biyadai lekacha, do you think it's within his ability to engage her? In other words, if he ends up divorcing her, maybe she's not going to be agreeable to have kedushin. And therefore, it's not a dover that's bala olam, because A, it's not bala olam, she's not divorced yet. Now, although it's biyadai legarsha and then to be mekadesha, it's only biyadai legarsha. But lekacha, who said she's going to accept the kedushin from the man who just divorced her? And that's why he would agree to her. But she's halacha, where right now that she's married, to give her a coin for her to accept it, it's not going to be a valid kedushin. Now, the Gemara says, but then if that's the case, Tifshe de Bayer of Aisha. Let's resolve from this that we just said that since it's not in his ability right now to engage her after he divorces her, and so let's resolve Rav Ishi's question that it's not going to be a kedushin whatsoever. Because his question was as follows. Hanoisin shtei prutis li'isha, if someone gives two coins to a woman, ba'achas amalois kachili hayoim, with one coin, and he's not married to this woman. With one coin he says, be engaged to me today. And with the other coin, he says, I want you to be engaged to me after I divorce you. Let's resolve from this halacha that the way we just answered before, that it's not going to be a valid kedushin because it's taking effect right now for when he divorces her, but that we just said that that's not biyadai, because maybe after he divorces her, she's not going to be agreeable. So although it's biyadai legarsha, So, he's engaging her now, but the second coin should obviously not take effect. So let's resolve Rav Yishai's question. It's not going to be a valid kedushin. Now the Gemara says, no, the reason why Rav Yishai was in doubt is because you could say that Dilma, maybe we hold what's called the principle of Migui. Migui says that once we give you the ability on some level, we could continue that ability. So therefore you could say, Kihecha de tafse kedushin hashta, just like kedushin is taking effect right now because there's two coins over here, where if he wants to engage her right now, he could engage her. So tafsi nami lachem ken. So that's why it's going to take effect also at a later point in time, because that's called the migui. Since kedushin is taking effect right now, so then the later kedushin, which possibly would not necessarily work, but it's riding on the back of this first kedushin. But someone that wants to engage his wife right now, he cannot engage her because she's already engaged. The only thing that you wanted to say was, okay, but although it's loy b'la'ilam, because she's your wife, you can't engage your wife. Oh, but since I could divorce her, oh, so that's biyadli. So then, based on that, you can be able to engage her. That's right, biyadli garsha, but it's not biyadli katsha. And therefore, Rabbi Yechon would agree to Rabbi Ishia that someone that engages his wife for after he divorces her, it's not going to be a valid kedushin. But again, it doesn't resolve the other question of Rabbi Ishia, because that you could say, based on the principle of migui, that the later kedushin would take effect, even though it's going to take effect now for after the divorce. Gemara continues and says, Tanika vaseid Rabbi Yechon. We learned in the Braisa, like Rabbi Yechon, where again, as he said, regarding that question that was asked of him regarding the truma that was connected on the one that was not connected, where again, you're going to say you want to take effect for when it will be disconnected, where he said it's going to be valid because whatever is biyadli, whatever you could do, we don't consider it as if it's mechusar maisa, as if it's lacking in action. We already consider it as if it's done. We learned the Braisa like that. The Braisa says, "Ein termin min atolish ala mechubar." It says clearly that as the Mishnah Masechtas Truma says, you cannot take Truma for something that's disconnected, for something that's connected. And if you did do Truma like that, it's not a valid Truma. Says the Braisa Ketzat, what's the case? Amar Peres Arugazu Tlushin, you said that the fruits of this row which are disconnected, you Truma al Peres Arugazu Mechuberes, should be Truma on this row which is attached. Or the other way around. Peres Arugazu Mechuberes, you said the fruits of this row which is attached, you Truma al Peres Arugazu Tlushin should be Truma for the fruits of this row which are disconnected. Says the Braisa, Lo Amakum. He hasn't said anything. So that's like the Mishnah Masechtas Trumas. But this is the part that says, like Rabbi Yechonon, Aval Amar Likesha Yit Lishu Vinit Lishu. But if he says that, then it should take effect for when it gets disconnected. And then it ends up getting disconnected, says the Braisa, Dvar of Kayyaman. His words have validity. In other words, since he could disconnect them and separate them, and he's saying that that's for when it should take effect, which is at that point, which will when it'll be valid, such a hafrasha truma. So since it's biyadi to do it, we consider it as if it's done, and therefore it's a valid truma after it gets separated. Now the Braisa continues, and this is where we segue into a different discussion, that yesal kein amr Elazar ben Yaakov. Elazar ben Yaakov said even more than the Tanakama, meaning more than this halacha of Rabbi Yechonon, that even what's not biyadi is still going to be valid, because he holds a person could be makdish and could make a kinyan on even something that's loy b'loylam. Up until now, we were assuming the halacha of that it has to be extant, but biyadu will make it as if it's extant. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's opinion is even something that's not even in the world, you could create a kinyan for. So therefore, he holds afila amar peres arugazu tlushin, even if he says that the fruits of this row which are detached, you truma peres arugazu mechuberes should be truma for the fruits that are attached, or the other way around. Peres arugazu mechuberes, you truma peres arugazu tlushin, that which is attached should be for the one that's detached. Likesh yeviu shlish. Now, he explains. He's saying that, of course, it can't work as truma right now. Can't make a hafaras as truma right now because it's only on something that's detached. But he's saying that it should be and it should work for when it grows a third, which now it's not even a third grown, the produce, which that, according to Tanakama, wouldn't even work based on biyadai, because it's not even biyadai to separate it and create afrasha's truma, because it's not called tvua, produce, until it grows a third. As the Gemara learned themselves, based on the pasuk in Biyikra that says, v'asas as a tvua l'shalish, where the Gemara there explains, don't read it l'shalish, el l'shlish. So even if you would detach it right now, it still wouldn't be a valid truma. So according to Tanakama, it wouldn't work. But Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who he holds that Davash Leibel Oilim is not a problem, so if you're saying that it should take effect when it grows a third Fiyit Lishu and then it'll be detached, and then ultimately that's what happened, Vehevi Ushlish Vinit Lishu, it grew a third and then it was detached, he holds Dvarav Kayaman, then the person's words of that Hafrasha Truma is going to be valid, because again he holds that if you want it to take effect at that point, Davash Leibel Oilim is not a problem. Now, based on this opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Amar Rabba. Rabba qualifies his halacha. Says, Lo Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov didn't say that it's going to work, even though it's not even a third groan, Ela b'shachas. Only if it's at a certain point, this produce, that although, yes, the seeds didn't grow even a third, or you didn't even have that the wheat stalks are waving in the wind, but it has to be at least what's called shachas. which is that it's fit to reap that produce and at least feed it to the animal, which shachas means animal fodder. So at least it's something that's recognizable and distinct. So even though it didn't grow and it's not even tfuah yet, it's not even biyadai, but it's at least something to take effect, even though it's not bola oilam in the halachas of truma. Ava ba'agam, but if it's something that's just little sprouts that are soft coming out of the ground, which the Gemara shortly will explain why is that a terminology of agam, then loy. So since it's not distinct, then it cannot even take effect for that. It should be retroactively designated as truma because there was nothing at all for it to take effect on. So although you don't need the halacha for its totality to be bala ilam, it's something has to be there to take effect, and therefore has to be at least the level of shachas, not the level of agam. Rabbi Yosef Amar, he disagrees and says, not fill up agam. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's halacha is even when it's the small little sprouts, it's already something that it could take effect on, and retroactively, when it's bala ilam in the halacha of truma, which is when it grows a third, then it will take effect retroactive. So Gemara just clarifies, my mashma the high agam, where do we understand this terminology that Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi are using? This term agam, that it's lishna de vutzlanahu. That's a terminology of something that is sprouting and coming out of the ground that has enough that it could be bent over, which is just basic little sprouts. So Rabbi Elazar says, because the amakra is based on the pasuk in Yeshaya that says, halochayif, that to bend over, ka'agmoin, like this plant, which is called a bulrush, that roisha its head, which you see that a little sprout, as long as it's able to bend over its head, it's called this terminology of agmoin, which is where we get this term of agam from, which is to connotate this idea of just little sprouts enough that it could bend over. It's already, again, according to Rabbi Yosef, in Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's opinion, valid, whereas according to Rabbi, that's not enough. It has to be at least the level of shachas. So the Gemara says, Kaman ozla ha detanya. So this machlik is Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef. The Gemara's question is actually on Rabbi Hanina's interpretation of our Mishnah, which, so the Gemara's question is, according to whom did Rabbi Hanina explain the halach of our Mishnah? In other words, we learned in our Mishnah, which although it says Tanya, it's a reference to Etznan, our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Oymel Chaveire. Someone says to his friend, Em yod v'ishtucha nekev mukadeshesli. If your wife's going to give birth to a girl, she's engaged to me. And he's giving this guy, his friend, his wife didn't give birth to anyone yet, so he's giving him money, it'll be a kedushin. Says the Mishnah, Loy maklum, he hasn't said anything. It's not a valid kedushin. Now, V'amr b'chanin, b'chanin said, and this is why where it's obviously not the gears of our Mishnah as we had in the parentheses, so he qualifies, says, Lo yishanu el she'in ishtem mu'baris. Says, this halach of our Mishnah that's not a valid kedushin is only if this friend of his who is giving the money, who he wants his daughter, that's only if his wife is not pregnant. Aval ishtem mu'baris devarav kayyamin. But if his wife is pregnant, then his words have validity, and it's going to be a valid kedushin if she ends up giving birth to a girl. Now, obviously, that we see that it's something that didn't come to the world at all. That is something where you cannot be makna. Where, as Reb Chanina is explained the halacha of Mishnah, if she's not even pregnant, then it's ein mukudeshes. But that's what he's qualifying. He's saying, but if partially it came to the world, meaning she wasn't born yet, so it's not balaylam, you can't get engaged to a fetus, but it's somewhere in this world because it's in the mother's womb, then he's explaining the halacha of Mishnah that would be a kenyan. So the question is, come on. Who is Reb Chanina explaining this Mishnah like when he's qualifying and saying that if it's somewhat here in the world, it is going to be a valid kedushin? So the Gemara explains, Ika Rabba, if Reb Chanina holds like Rabba, in other words, where he explained the halacha of Reb Elazar ben Yaakov regarding that even though you could be mekadesh something that's shleibel oilam, which a fetus is shleibel oilam, but I believe it's partially there, which is the level of shachas. So the corollary of that regarding pregnancy would be kishuhuku ubra, when the fetus is already recognizable, you see that there's a pregnancy going on over here, which that's like the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Meaning the corollary of Rabba, of the halacha of trumois, which is that it has to, although it doesn't have to be bala ilim totally, but something's got to be there. And it has to be a recognizable, like a distinct partially there, which is what shachas is. So the corollary of Reb Chanina in our Mishnah would be that, okay, something got to be in the world, and it has to be recognizable, which is that you see that she's pregnant. Now, Iker Reb Yosef, but if Reb Chanina holds like Reb Yosef, that even by Agam Reb Eliezer said is halacha, then here you could say the corollary is that Afa Pishlehuka Ubra, that Reb Chanina is saying in the halacha of our Mishnah that even if as long as she's pregnant, even though no one could see that she's pregnant, still Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would hold that that would be a valid kedushin. Now, as Rashi points out, the reason why we're explaining this in Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's opinion is because we hold the halachas like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, whereas the Gemara says elsewhere in Masechtas Gittin that Mishnasei Kavanaki, his statements in Shas are very small, but whatever they are, they're refined, and therefore we say the halacha is like him. So therefore, we're saying that Rabbi Chanina, who is qualifying the halacha of our Mishnah, that although if you're engaging a girl that's not yet born, it's not a valid kedushin because davar shleibel olam. But Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who holds that it doesn't have to be bala olam, but it's got to be partially somewhat there, which is what pregnancy is, that is totally in the machlikas, Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, how much the partial has to be. Rabbi holds it has to be the level of shacha, something distinct. So the corollary of that of pregnancy is that you see that she's pregnant. Whereas according to Rabbi Yosef, no, the minimum, as long as it's something here, so that's the corollary would be that she's pregnant and something's there, although it's not chashav, it's not distinct because you don't see that she's pregnant. Now, the Ikadami, that those that say this a slightly different version of the machlikas Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, and which will then have its manifestation in Reb Chanina's opinion, in his interpretation in our Mishnah, that Omer Rabbi, Rabbi says, Loi Omer Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov didn't say his halacha, that you could be making a truma on something that's shleibel olam, el b'shachas de be'kivsha. Only regarding the fodder, and he qualifies as not just any shachas, has to be the shachas of what's called the sadeh beis habal, which is a field that is enough to grow based on rainwater. You don't have to water it yourself. Of b'shachas de be'shakya, but regarding the shachas of a field which is called the sadeh beis hashlachin, which you have to water it yourself and irrigate it, then light. Then, even though it's shachas, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov did not say his halacha. And the reason being is because something that ends up very easily getting ruined, because if you don't water it appropriately, it's not going to sustain itself and end up being bala olam. So therefore, even Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would agree that it's like it totally didn't even come into the world at all, even though it's shachas. And therefore, it's not going to be valid for the halacha of truma. Now, Rabbi Yosef Amar, he disputes this, and he says, no, afilu b'shachas to be shakya. Even the shachas of a field that, again, it's not guaranteed it's going to grow because it's not enough with rainwater, you have to irrigate it yourself. But since it came to the level of shachas, that's something distinct already, says Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would hold of that halacha that you could go ahead and create truma now if you say that when it grows a third and that it becomes detached. Now, that the question is, but we see that no one says it by agam. Everyone's saying it has to be some form of shachas. Question is what type of shachas. So now based on that, Kiman Azlaha de Tanya. So who is Reb Chanina's halacha in the halacha of our Mishnah going like? Where the Mishnah said, if someone says to his friend, if your wife gives birth to a girl, let her be engaged to me, so the halacha was loy maklum. He hasn't said anything. It's loy bola oilam at all. Now, the Amr Reb Chanina had said that loy shano elishin ishtemu beres. This was only said, this halacha, only if the wife wasn't pregnant. But if his wife is pregnant, then his words have validity. So, Kaman, who's that going like? And obviously, we're going like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, because according to the other opinions, even if she's pregnant, it's not Bola Olam yet. But according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, it has to be partially. So now that he's saying that regarding Muberis, who's it going like? So that the Gemara explains, it has to be Kushahuku Ubra B'Divri Hakol. It has to be that according to everybody, both according to Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, it has to be told about that the fetus is recognizable. You see that she's pregnant. Because again, as we explained in the second version, both Rabbi and Rav Yosef agree it has to be the level of shachas. Because even Rav Yosef, who says that it doesn't have to be the shachas of a field that grows just from rain, it could be that of the Bei Kivsha. But so though it doesn't have to be something that grows just from heaven, in other words, it doesn't have to be the Bei Kivsha, which is only B'dei Shemaim. It could even be that of the Beis Shakya, but again, it has to be something that grows to a distinct level, which is at least the Shachas level, and therefore, everyone would agree, both those opinions, Rabbi and Yosef, if you want to compare that to Allah of Reb Chanina Mishnah, that it's not enough just that she's pregnant, it has to be that something significant and distinct, that she's pregnant and it's recognizable that she's pregnant, then according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, although it's not totally Dovash of Bala Olam, but the Kedushin would take effect because it's Bala Olam B'miktsas, something, again, like the Shachas by the Halacha of Truma, where you say that it should take effect for that point in time, same thing would it be regarding this man's wife, if the fetus is somewhat there, then according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, it will be a valid Kedushin.